Senate Agriculture and Veterans Policy Budget Division will come to order. Members, today we're here to, first item is discussion of the budget recommendations.
It's just
the recommendations, and I've asked our fiscal analyst to go through the spreadsheet. I think all of you should have a spreadsheet. So, Dan, if you would start out and walk down through it. Members, I think we'll hold all questions until after he gets through it, and then we'll come back, make a note if you want to, and we'll come back and do the more explaining. So, Dan, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members, this proposal here reflects some of the discussions in that the budget chair has had with Senator Cohen. As you may know, Senator Cohen is working on an overall bill to balance the deficit and has started working with each of the divisions about sort of their role in that process. This proposal here is some reductions and then increases again. And basically this, our budget area had a pretty modest net decrease of about $1.378 million into general fund funding for this biennium. We accomplished that in a couple of different ways while being able to spend some new money, mostly because of a reduction that we were able to take in the amount of money in Veterans Affairs that was appropriated last year for the GI Bill. There was a pretty large appropriation of $6 million per year to the Veterans Affairs last year that actually was through and was contained in the Higher Ed Division Conference Committee. And looking at it now this year, it's when we realize that a lot of that money would probably go unspent. So as I go through the spreadsheet here, we'll see where we've taken some of that, actually a large portion of that money, and reallocated, and also made a few other cuts to get to the $1.3 or $1.4 million net reduction for this budget division. The spreadsheet is a two-page spreadsheet. We'll start on page one. These are all the change items, and it compares to the governor. We'll be looking at the first column, of the first Senate column, fiscal year 2008-2009. The first change on line 40 is to the Department of Ag is a $652,000 reduction. That's about a 3% reduction of their general fund administrative costs. This is a similar reduction that, as some of you members will see in other budget bills, that was allocated to most of the agencies across the state budget, a 3% reduction. Then we have a one-time new cost of $700,000 for the livestock grant program that we discussed in this division. That's it for the Department of Ag. Animal Health Board, right now we're showing the governor's cost of the for bovine TB, and Senator Skoy had some. And this was parts of Senator Skoy's bill also. On to Veterans Affairs. Now, a number of these were initiatives that were in the governor's proposal. Some we were able to fully fund, some partially fund, or some of these we were only able to fund one time instead of permanently. And I'll go through that. And back up to Animal Health Board, the bovine TB money is permanent. It is ongoing money into tails of $2.252 million per year. Under Veterans Affairs, line 120, the State Soldiers Assistant Program will receive a $2.5 million increase. However, the tails will only increase by $1.2 million per year. That's a little bit less than what the governor had, a $2 million increase per year in the tails. But we have the same amount for fiscal year 09. The Link Vet Program, we have a $100,000 increase. The governor had a $220,000. The traumatic brain injury outreach proposal in the governor's bill has a one-time cost of $250,000. The state veterans caseworkers, governor's initiative for $500,000, we are doing that and as a permanent proposal. The Duluth Cemetery has a cost just in the tails, and we are carrying some costs for that. Of $325,000 per year. There's some language in the bill that does that. Now on line 125 is the reduction to the GI bill. Again, there's about $6 million per year appropriated for this in the Higher Ed Conference Committee. And we are taking a reduction of $5 million in 2008 and a permanent reduction of $4 million, leaving $3 million in the program. In talking with the department, there's still – this will still easily cover the needs that are out there under this program. Part of the reason why this was such a big request last year is there was still some uncertainty about which federal programs and other programs would cover some of the returning soldiers. And so they put a fair amount of money out there last year to make sure they're covered. And then since then, the federal government has covered a lot of the costs for these soldiers that are returning to school. So the need is much less. Like I said, this still leaves $3 million in 08, 09 in the program and $2 million per year ongoing for the program. And whatever is unspent of this money will carry forward also. So basically a lot of the programs we're able to fund in this division, in this proposal, is by this reduction right here. Then still staying with Veterans Affairs, down on line 127, the MACV, in addition to the MACV program, serves homeless veterans, $250,000, that's a permanent. A state navigator is $125,000. That's the governor's initiative. The Veterans Claim Office for $250,000 per year. That was the governor's initiative. We are not funding the CVSO grants or the higher ed office, higher ed increases that we had. These were all increases from previous year appropriations, and the governor had proposed adding some more money to these initiatives, and we are not able to do that under this proposal. The Veterans Paramedic Initiative that we heard here in this committee is $100,000 one time. Veteran Affairs Marketing, $100,000. That was in the governor's bill. The Vets Home Operation Capacity is a study looking at the capacity and future costs with the Vets Home. That's a $200,000 initiative that was in the governor's bill. Lines 139 and 140 is a governor's initiative, just taking the existing support our troops appropriation from money from the license plates. Right now it's a direct appropriation, and the governor's bill had this making it a statutory appropriation, which would allow them to spend whatever money's coming into the fund as needed instead of waiting for the legislature to appropriate each year. So the negative and a positive there is just a reflection of switching it from a direct appropriation to a statutory appropriation. And that effect is they get to spend, there's about $100,000 over what we had appropriated. They're expecting getting into that account that they can now spend as they receive it. Next, we go on to military affairs. Again, they had a proposal for a state navigators program. We did 150 of the 180 request. The medic requalification bonus was the governor's initiative for 135. The employer support, $75,000, that was in the governor's bill. The spousal tuition reimbursement increase was in the governor's bill, but that was just the cost and the tails, and we had some tight tails target, and so we were not able to do that initiative, but probably revisit that next year. The Youth Challenge Study was an Olsen bill that the department, there's a small fiscal note for that, and we decided to allocate the $15,000 they had said would take to fully do that study to military affairs. And then again, the last lines there is the same change for that we had in Veterans Affairs for the support of troops, the expending of the license plate money. And then there was an initiative of letting the Camp Ripley control their own forest lands instead of DNR, and that change was part of the governor's initiative. And that's more of just a swapping out money. There's a revenue that ties to that $100,000 of special revenue also. So on the next page is sort of a history of our general fund going back to the beginning of last session, just kind of showing where from where we started, how much new money was appropriated last year, and then show that up against with the changes made in this proposal. Basically, last year, if you look at lines 204 in the general fund, we started out with about $134.6 million of general fund being spent in this area. Last session, we added about $45.6 million of general fund into this area, and you can see the agencies that received that money. You know, Ag at 14, a lot of that was clean water money. Vets, $22.2 million, et cetera. And then under the flood relief bill, there was another $3.7 million that was appropriated to the Department of Ag, meaning that we're pretty close to $50 million new general fund dollars that was allocated to this budget area for this biennium over the base before this year. Then the last changes I'm just showing again here, the totals. If you look line 230 down to 236 under Senate, shows the total changes by agency. It's basically a summary of what was the change items that were listed on the other side of the page. Meaning we have cut about $1.478 million in expenditures net. That's with that $9 million change out of the GI bill that we have respent. Our target is, like I said, $1.378 million. We have another $100,000 revenue change that nets out to that, that ties in with that Camp Ripley land fund. So that's basically what this proposal is doing right now. It just deals mostly with general fund. We have taken those couple special revenue fund changes that were in the governor's bill and included that in this, in these articles also. The articles that were handed out, Greg and Tom will probably go through those, but they reflect the numbers that are in this spreadsheet. And that is it.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, why did we overestimate the GI Bill thing so much? I mean, why isn't it being drawn on to the extent that we thought? Is there any particular reason? Or?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Langseth, when the National Guard members were returning to Minnesota from their service in Iraq, we were informed that many of them, I think there was approximately 2,600 individuals, and that many of them were anywhere from a couple days to a couple weeks short of being eligible for the federal GI Montgomery bill. And so we appropriated $12 million to cover their educational cost and created a state GI bill. Subsequently, after we adopted that budget last year, our Minnesota congressional delegation was able to prevail upon the Department of Defense to recognize them and to make them eligible for the federal benefits. Therefore, they'll be eligible for, I believe, up to 4 years of federal educational benefits, and they won't be able to access. Our eligibility language in the state GI Bill last year said that they had to exhaust all available benefits before they could access the state program. So therefore, those 2,600 approximately, that many individuals will not be accessing the state GI Bill.
Okay. Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm also curious about that as well. I know that the governor's effort to find reductions, it would seem to me that that would have been an easy one for him to pick off, but he didn't do it. And I'm just wondering, is there some concern about that? I guess I'm a little concerned that when we look at this budget, the only place we're really cutting any money from is from the military, the Veterans Affairs Department. And I'm a little concerned about that in terms of the message it sends that that our division is going to cut the budget by taking it from military or from veteran services. And I'm worried about that.
Well, Senator Hamm. I was nervous about that money, too. Somebody was going to take it before we took it. So I pushed veterans hard, and that was one way we could lock up that money so it couldn't be taken and used for something else. We have a gentleman in the end who'd like to help
Senator Vickerman, I'm from the Minnesota Office of Higher Education, so if anybody has any questions about the reason that we were so far over, I could maybe explain that a little further, if you wish.
Go ahead.
Okay. Senator Vickerman, we first off overestimated the number of veterans that would apply.
Sir, I need your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Tim Matt. I'm with the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. Okay. I came up with the numbers, so I'm the one that was wrong. One of the reasons we have a lot of these service members are now taking courses online at schools that are outside the state of Minnesota, which are ineligible to participate in the Minnesota GI Bill. For example, I was given the number that there are more than 100 members of the Minnesota Guard who are attending the what's known as American Military University. That's their option. I also underestimated the amount of veterans' benefits available. Not only were the 1st Brigade Combat Soldiers now able to receive Chapter 10 benefits, which gives them an extra $1,800 a semester, we also were quite unaware of how much kicker these veterans were getting, which is generally most of them get $200 up to $600 a month. Based on the data that we had available, it appears we also underestimated the amount of Pell and state grant that they got. As you can imagine, there's not a real hard data on what veterans receive. And we've had some program implementation problems, just getting people aware of this. So we were a little slow in the startup. But we estimate that even with the cuts, we should still have enough money to pay those benefits that people are eligible to receive.
Senator Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Matt, thank you. Do you have an idea of how many veterans were served with the GI Bill this year? And I think in the first year of any startup, you know, we should expect it to be slow. It'll take a while for the word to get out and for people to sign up for the benefit. So, you know, I'm a little concerned if we put too much weight on the fact that it's the first year and there weren't a lot of people signing up. Some of the other explanations you gave make sense, but do you have any idea of how many Minnesota vets actually were able to use the GI Fund?
To Senator Robes, Chairman Vickerman, to the best of my knowledge, it's around 700, but many of these students also are attending the community colleges, which, of course, have a lower budget. And if they are getting Chapter 10 benefits plus a kicker, there is no need based on the way the grant or the bill payment is calculated.
Senator Hamm.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And when did your department or did you make these recommendations to the governor's staff when he was going through his budget proposals, and did he not accept them, or why wouldn't he include this in his proposal? If it was simply an error in calculation, it would seem to me that'd be a pretty easy, budget reduction to make. But was he not aware of that, or did he just not choose to accept it?
Senator Vickerman, Senator Hamm, I really don't get involved with negotiations with the governor's office, so I have no idea what it's.
And Mr. Chairman, but he was aware of the your position on this before he gave his proposal?
I am unaware. I would not be able to tell you if he was aware or not. I've never talked to him.
Any further discussion? Questions? If not, thank you very much. Members, keep in mind that we kept about, I believe it's $3 million. $3 million in this fund just in case everything doesn't work, because if you notice the record the other day, there's 900 and some members of the St. Paul helicopter group are leaving within a month. And if you also follow the papers, the deployment's going to be longer. If President Bush gets his way, they'll be longer than just in and out. So we cut it down. We kept $3 million in there just as a safeguard. Any other discussion? Senator Lurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question about the $325,000 per year to the agency's base funding for cemetery operations if we do the new vet cemetery up by Duluth. I thought that the feds were going to cover most all of the cost of that. We'd have to expend it initially is how they described it, but that the feds would be reimbursing us, and it wouldn't really be an ongoing cost. I mean, it's 60 acres. No, but $325,000 to the base budget seems like a lot for something that's built and operating.
I have an answer for you in a minute. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, Christine Keel, Department of Veterans Affairs. Senator Loring, members of the committee, what you're seeing is we just took the cost estimate of what it costs to run this Little Falls State Veterans Cemetery right now, staff-wise. The federal government will pay, reimburse for the pre-planning design and then the construction of the cemetery. However, we will have to have some staff up at the cemetery. We probably are not anticipating that it will be a full complement like we have at Little Falls, but we will need some staff to actually maintain the grounds once the cemetery in Duluth is built. So the 325 is probably on the high side of an estimate, but that is actually what we put into Little Falls at this point for the care of the staffing and the grounds maintenance.
Senator Laurie?
If we're tight on the tails, though, and 325 does seem high, I mean, maybe we should work a little harder to figure out what the right number is there to help us with our tails. I mean, I don't know.
Senator Corey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Keel, how is that going to affect that's not going to have any effect on the Little Falls Cemetery then, is it? I mean, the cut?
Mr. Chair, Senator Coyne, no, it will not. We anticipate that Mr. Swantek, who is the cemetery director, will be the director over both cemeteries, but that will not take him away from Little Falls. He will split his duties.
Senator Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Keel, if we're just starting that cemetery, I would think that the staffing costs would be far less. I mean, we wouldn't be developing the entire 60 acres at one time and maintaining, and I would assume it would be done in sections. So it's – and yet you're – I'm understanding you to say that this is to take care of the full acreage once it's developed.
Mr. Chair and Senator Wergen, that's – yeah, as we developed our fiscal note, that's correct. We did that not to bring in the other body, but at this point they also are not funding the out years. They're going to wait until the cemetery is built to see the actual needs for funding.
Senator Hand, did you have a
question? Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this is a question for Ms. Keel or not, but I just wanted to get somebody to address the CVSO cuts or the, not cuts, but the reductions from the governor's proposal and also the higher ed assistance. I know we had some testimony on those things. It was pretty favorable, and I just wanted to get some feedback on what is the rationale to take those out of the funding.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, I think that's a chair's decision, not a department decision.
And so, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm just, I don't know who. We did have some testimony on those programs that seemed to be very positive in terms of bringing veterans back into, I guess, helping them get readjusted to their schooling and so forth. And is this, do we already have money in there that this would be just additions to? Or I guess I'm just a little concerned about the cutting of that program.
Mr. Miller. Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, yes, it's not a cut, and there is money. All these changes here are just changes to what the existing is. They're currently, for the higher ed program, there currently is $450,000 per year for that program. And the county, I'll have to look that one up here, too. I don't, the county program is $750,000 per year. So this proposal just did not pick up the governor's increase. We had basically less ability to spend than the governor did here, and we, with working with the chair, and had set our priorities, and those were some of the areas that were not included.
And Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that. I guess one of the concerns I have here is we've got these reductions in the proposed budget for Veterans Affairs, but we also have $800,000 increase for livestock grants and $700,000. And I just wonder why we would want to initiate a new program in livestock grants, as much as I like livestock grants, Nurse Scoggin. I'm not opposed to that, but I'm just curious why that's a better trade-off than preserving the money for veterans assistance.
Do you want to respond? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, the programs last year did receive a bump. Not that we aren't advocating that we wouldn't like additional funds, but last year they did, both those programs did receive additional funding as well.
Senator Sherbrooke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the same topic, and thank you, Senator Hand, I also had questions about the CVSO. Is this money that would be funding the CVSO positions? Because at one point they were part-time. I know in my counties they're wearing several different hats. And if this would put some of those county officers at risk for going back to part-time and then having to pick up other jobs, it's really a problem in my district. I know especially one of the CVSOs is also the emergency manager, and they just have their hands full with flood issues. So does the staffing come out of these line items?
Oh. Mr. Chair and Senator Ropes, the CVSOs are county employees, so any money they get at the state level, it does not actually fund their employment or their job status as to full-time or part-time. The grant program that the department developed is just an enhancement grant to help them, some of them, you know, hold town hall meetings with the grant money. Some of them do literature to promote their office, but it's not actually to fund their staffing level. They are county employees, not department employees.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, Ms. Keel, it seemed to me, I don't know, maybe I've dreamed this, but it seemed like last session we had a conversation about talking about the fact that many of the CVOs are part-time at the county and needing to increase some funding so that they could go to full-time positions. So am I the only one remembering that, or I don't know if we put any money towards that, and I understand it's routed through the county and they can sort of do what they want with it, but it seems to me we funded some of those job increases.
Mr. Chair and Senator Erickson Ropes, we, as a department, came forward with the grants and with the understanding that some of the CVSOs would like to have hired additional secretarial staff or administrative staff to allow them to be out of the office more, working with veterans, since the counties do have them employed, potentially part-time doing emergency management stuff. We did have three counties ask for that with the grant this last funding cycle, and we did grant those three counties that request. However, Cass County just recently yesterday turned that request back. They did not accept it.
Senator Ropes, I don't know if you got a letter, but I certainly did, from the Legislative Audit Commission, who studied this problem. Some counties do a lot, and some of them do very little. But we're trying to figure out just who's not doing it. We just don't want to hand the county a bunch of money. If the county should pick in money themselves, we want to be sure that they're doing their share. But members, you know, that's a difficult bill for me to even carry. I didn't want to cut anything. I didn't have the money, or we didn't have the money, I should say. And so we've done the very best I think we can. We've taken care of everybody. I believe that very much. Sure, we wanted to do more, but we couldn't. If you want to change something, I suppose we could do that, because this is just our recommendation. But if you're going to take some money, you're going to take it from somebody. I'm not too sure that we should go in that direction. That's my own personal opinion. Senator Hand?
Mr. Chairman, could we get somebody? One other area that you've proposed in your budget to change is the governor had proposed a $100,000 reduction to Ag Department admin services, and your this bill has it $650,000. I just wonder if someone from the department could tell us what that means. Translate that into some. Is that positions going away, or what is going to happen when you do that?
Where are we at? Oh.
Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joe Martin. I serve as Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Agriculture. In terms of the $652,000 reduction in budget, I'll just say that I appreciate the situation you're in for the reduction. I would say that it might be difficult to find $652,000 just out of administrative services, but we'll definitely work with the committee and provide you with some options and have some discussions on what the priorities are we want to keep and what reductions that you want to direct the department to make. So I have Steve Ernest here, our finance director, who may be able to provide some more details about the actual administrative services budget.
Welcome to committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve Ernest, financial management director for the Department of Agriculture. I don't think Mr. Mueller mentioned this, but the 652, the 3% is just on the operating portion of the general fund. So it subtracts out the pass-through money, the ethanol money and the grants to the county fairs and those kinds of things. There are, we don't have a detailed list of all the positions that would have to be eliminated because of a 3% of the operating, but there would be positions that we would be looking to reduce.
General Lowry.
So just for clarification, the 652 does represent 3% of the operating, and that's what we're talking about, and that's what we've proposed across all agencies, I believe. Is that correct?
That was our goal, 3%. Right, Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, on that point, like I said, some of the other budget divisions are still working on their proposal, but you'll see this 3% cut allocated in other divisions. Some are actually to the agencies are going up to 4, I believe, still being worked on. And actually, those were applied also to Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs, but with the money that we were able to reallocate, I'll sort of offset that reduction to make sure we didn't cut and then put it back in other programs. So we were able to buy back that reduction in Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs also. Otherwise, we would have had that reduction, and then it wouldn't have made sense to give the Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs that reduction and then plug it back up in for all these other programs. So basically, I was able to offset that reduction to Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs, the 3%. But, yeah, it is a 3% on just the general fund operating dollars that you'll see in other agencies as the budget gets put together in the other divisions.
Mr.
Chairman, so if this change happens, $652,000, so somebody's going to have to get the axe. Somebody's going to get the axe, and it would be unclassified employees, I'm assuming, that are appointees. Is that correct? Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator, there aren't very many unclassified employees. The 3% goes across all the divisions.
Mm-hmm.
In the admin division, there are more of those positions, the unclassified. But in the other divisions, they're more classified. Now, some divisions rely more on fees, fee for service, like the pesticide and fertilizer division, than other divisions which rely on the general fund. In the general fund, for example, the dairy and food division relies more on general fund because the activities they do protecting the food supply system are more statewide general public interest, so they rely more on the general fund than a specific fee for service.
And so if I can ask another question, Mr. Chairman, then so where if this budget stands, then where would we be you have no idea where we'd be lacking. I mean, would we get rid of a dairy inspector, or where then are we going to be hurting in somewhere? Or don't have no idea how to answer that question, I'm sure. But
Mr. Chairman, Senator, going through the budget process prior to session, we did calculate agency-wide 3% reductions. The point that I made earlier is that it probably will be difficult to find $652,000 just out of the administrative services reduction. It most likely will have to look agency-wide into all the programs, and said, well, we could help the committee identify, because we've identified some already, because that was part of the process we went through.
And if I could just make one more statement, I guess the point that I'm getting at is, you know, are we compromising any food safety, or do you think we're compromising anything that the public should be concerned about by this? Or I don't know if that's a fair question, but I guess I'd like to have an answer.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, when we look at, obviously we've been through this process of reducing budgets in the past, and we always try to first hold harmless our food safety responsibilities, the inspection duties, and it was no different this time around when we went through our exercise, that we tried to hold our regulatory services harmless, and I think that we could accomplish that even with this number.
So. Senator Coring, the governor put a freeze on all hiring, so there won't be any more hiring, so they'll have to stay within budget. I would still like to do more, but I don't have the money. That's the hardest part. And I think we were treated them very fair in a 3% cut. Some, like Dan Mueller said, some could maybe go in towards 4.
And, Mr. Chairman, if I could just say, you know, if you look proportionately at the whole state budget, what we spend for agriculture or agriculture-related and Veterans Affairs-related, it's just such a small percentage. And then, so then when it gets cut, it has a huge effect. It isn't like Health and Human Services or K-12 education, which is, you know, 45% of the budget. So it's just, I guess I get concerned when, you know, that when we start cutting agriculture, because I've always been told when farmers are hurting, everybody's hurting, and thank God that the farmers are doing fairly decent now. Otherwise, I think we could, you know, the economy's not good, but it could be a heck of a lot worse. But I just hate to see us cutting anything to do with agriculture, because it is so important. So,
Senator Coring, you probably didn't hear, or else I didn't speak loud enough for what we did last year. Ag got a 40% increase, close to $50 million. Where others got peanuts. So we have to. I'm satisfied with this cut, my personally. But a lot of the other ones got a lot more cuts than we did. Sure, it'd be nice to do more. But we just don't have the funds. Remember, this is a recommendation. I don't know where it'll go when it gets to finance. They might change it. I hope not, but Dan Miller?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ropes was just asking me, too. I mean, going back on my spreadsheet, if you look on page 2, we can look at the changes from last year. Department of Ag got $14.5 million new dollars above the base. Granted, a lot of that was in the first year for clean
line,
water programs and such.
What line?
Oh, I'm looking on line 207. Those are legislative changes or additions we made last year to the base. So Ag at $14.5 million, which of that is $3.034 new general fund dollars in fiscal year 2009. So they did, and granted all that isn't for administrative services, some of those for grants, et cetera, but it is just a reduction to their increase.
Mm-hmm.
If that's, department may not look at it always that way, but I mean, it is, this area of the budget is still, it's just a decrease to the increase a lot for a lot of these items.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
I think, Senator Lorie, do you have your hand up?
I'm good.
I'm going to go to Senator Deal, and then I'll come back to.
Well, Madam Chair, members, my recollection is that back when Jim Nichols was the Commissioner of Agriculture, he had a lot of people working over there, and under his leadership, it was cut down substantially. And then we keep having these little recessions and problems as we go along. Every few years, we've got to do some more cutting. And my impression is that today we have far fewer Department of Agriculture employees than we had maybe 20 years ago. But I wonder if anybody at the table can confirm that. And then just to put things in perspective here, if that's possible, if you look at the current budget for the Department of Agriculture, is this the largest budget in terms of dollars that the Ag Department's ever had, or was it larger a few years ago, and because of cutbacks and so forth, it's gotten smaller?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, our FTEs in the agency, we have not increased very much at all over the years. It's true that we have gone through some of these exercises in reducing staffing, so we don't have the exact FTE numbers, but I believe that we're at the same level of FTEs probably from about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, so we haven't grown as an agency. With that said, I mean, I appreciate the position you're in with your reductions, and we're more than willing to work and identify options for the committee to make choices. So.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
fair deal.
How many FTEs do you have right now?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, I don't have that information on hand, but Mr. Ernest is looking at that right now.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, according to our budget, we have 408 FTEs.
I didn't answer it. Right.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
408 FTEs.
Senator Wiggins, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm fine.
I had Senator Hamm, you were next, and then I'll come back to Scoy.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess to kind of Senator Dill's point, as I'm looking at what we apparently have made a choice in the Ag Department is to go ahead and take the $650,000 reduction, but we're also going to increase spending of $700,000, more than the cut, for a livestock grant program. And I'm just wondering, why does it make sense to add the new program in and pay for it by reducing staff and services and other things that presumably we think are doing pretty good? I guess I'm not clear on why that's a good choice. And that doesn't make sense to me that we would do that and then add that money back in a new program. And is that just, how does that work? Why is that a good choice?
Can you help me out of this situation?
I'd like to hear that too.
Mr. Chairman, about all I can add to that is that the 3% cut to the Department of Ag is sort of something that is be asked to be carried by all agencies. So whether you could make an argument that frees up money for the other program, but I think the way Senator Cohen is looking at the budget, he's asking for all agencies to take a 3% cut no matter what. And I believe that is a number that the individuals from the department had mentioned. That was a number that sort of the governor had used as a starting point, too. I know in his proposal, a lot of agencies did get a 3% cut. Department of Ag escaped that, and it had a 1% cut in the governor's budget. But I believe the way that Senator Cohen has asked the divisions and the way he's looking at the budget is that no matter what other initiatives are out there, he's asking all agencies to take a 3% cut in their general fund administrative fiscal year 2009 budgets.
And Mr. Chairman and Mr. Mueller, I appreciate that. It just doesn't make any sense to me that if we're going to cut the department by 3%, then let's cut them. But then to do it and then, on the other hand, turn right around and add another 3% back in some new program seems to me to be I don't know. It doesn't make any sense at all. If we have to cut the budget, then fine, let's cut the budget. But let's not cut the budget and then add the money back in a new program. That, to me, just is kind of unbelievable. But
Senator Scully.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Hahn, you know, you have to prioritize and make decisions on the budgeting. And sometimes an investment that will pay off in the future is more important than part of what your current budget is. And so you make decisions and you analyze that. And from my perspective, when you look at animal agriculture in Minnesota, it's one of the best ways that we add value to our crops. And we're putting a little investment into this for our future. And so, you know, you can say you shouldn't have cut the department 3% and put that money in, but sometimes you have to make those decisions and do this investment. It seems reasonable. It's a relatively small amount of money, and I think in the long run it's going to pay us back dividends. You know, we have other issues in the livestock area that we're working on also, and so we're going to need some resources in that area, and I think that this is real reasonable. I did have a question for the testifiers, though. Senator Dill had asked about your overall budget, the dollars, how this compared, and do you have a history of the size of the Department of Ag budget over the last 8-10 years or so? Are we larger, smaller? How's that going?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, the general fund budget particularly, especially, has shrunk, and that's largely because of the ethanol producer payment program going down. The sort of core agency activities has remained pretty steady. I don't have that many years back right here with me, though.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, can I just
better hand
to Senator Scoy's point. And Senator Scoy, I agree with you. I like the program, and Senator Scogan, I think it is a good program, and I think you're right. We ought to encourage stronger animal agriculture in the state. I'm 100% with you. I'm just questioning that if we're in a period where we're having to cut the budget, then this may not be the right time to do that, especially given that how we're doing this is that the $650,000 cut isn't a targeted cut. We're not saying, well, this program isn't a good program or that staff is not worthwhile. We're not doing that. We're just going in and saying cut it by a fixed percent. It doesn't really, if this was a targeted cut and saying, well, we've looked at all these programs and these are the ones we think aren't really paying their way or aren't worth investing in, fine, let's cut them. But when you just go in and say take 3% off and then we're going to add back in a new program, which for all its merits that I certainly support, I'm just questioning why that makes a lot of sense. And then when you look at the other part that we're saving the money, it's all out of Veterans Affairs. Every bit of it. And so to me, we've taken 3% off the administrative budget, added another program in to offset that, and then taken the whole rest of the reduction out of Veterans Affairs. And I'm not going to vote for that. I can't.
Well, Senator Hahn, I'm sure that the department would rather that we give them the flexibility to make the reductions where they feel they have the capabilities rather than the committee deciding where they have to cut. And I think that the chair answered the GI Bill reduction pretty accurately in that they overestimated last year because of activity that the federal delegation made. We have veterans that are accessing federal dollars as opposed to state dollars. That certainly seems like a good thing to do. You know, why would you leave money there and not utilize it during this tight time? That would make no sense at all. So it certainly seems reasonable to me that we would access that over expenditure that we made last year. We've had the witness from the HESO up here testifying as to how that happened. It would be not reasonable to not utilize the resources, especially during this tight time.
Senator Scoy, you're thinking in my way of thinking, because that money was going to go someplace. Everybody's looking for a little piece of money that's sitting out there. So I made my decision in our committee, why don't we take that money for the veterans, and that's what it was for, to help get through this problem that we're in right now. We still left, like I said, $3 million left in there. We need it.
You're cutting your awkward at the same time.
Any other discussion? Members, I want you to You got questions? I just soon have them asked and said in this committee before I get to the finance and then back on the floor. Senator Scoy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, we kind of talked around the bovine TB issue, and you'll see that the language is in here for the bovine management zone. I am going to have to go to the finance committee to get money to do that. There is not money in this budget to do that bovine tuberculosis management zone program. We are continuing to work with the Board of Animal Health and see where we can go with this, but I just want the committee to know that it's not possible to operate this program with the funding that is presented in this budget, and we will be going to the Finance Committee for more dollars.
Senator Scoy, you know as well as I know that in order to buy out all those herds, we'd have to be $10 to $15 million. We don't have that kind of money. So maybe with the federal government, we can, and there's been a lot of Farm Bureau people here today, a lot of cattle ranchers are here today, said we'll do the best you can with what we're doing now, and then we'll take it to the next step.
And I appreciate you putting this language and the stuff in here, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Canafa, you want to walk through this?
Mr. Chairman, I'll walk through Article 12. Article 12, Agriculture. It's also up in the upper right corner, ag.article. I'm going to release the witness. But, Mr. Chairman, the top part of the summary, you can see this is a net appropriations in the agriculture area. That's a net positive total. This nets out all the different changes, the reductions and the increases. In Section 1, Section 2 is kind of the boilerplate language, basically saying that it's added to the appropriations from last year. And Section 3, you can see the appropriations that to the Department of Agriculture. This is the one you were just discussing. You've got Subdivision 2, the Administrative Services reduction of $652,000 and the $700,000 for livestock investment grants. For the Board of Animal Health in the bottom, you can see the net money, but it's all increased for them. The one thing you'll notice on the language on the top of page 2, you have on 2.6, this is from Senator Scoy's bill. It has the $400,000 of the money in fiscal year 09 is for a grant to the North Central Research Center at Grand Rapids. And then this whole appropriation, there's a sentence in there that adds it to the base, so it would continue on, as Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet showed, that the $2.252 million would continue on each year in the next biennium. Section 5 is again from Senator Scoy's bill. Excuse me, this is from Senator Scogan's bill, 2704, the Livestock Investment Grant Program. A couple of differences between the bill that this committee heard earlier this session. You'll see on line 2.16, you've got it's a $4,000 minimum expenditure to apply for the grant. Senator Scogan's bill, it was $40,000. So you'll see that change. And then also on page 3 of the bill, you'll see that fences are added on 3.8. This is not an exhaustive list. It says it says you could spend it on these things, and it's including but not limited to all these items. But it does expressly now list fences in there. So that's otherwise is basically the same as what Senator Scogan's bill was before this committee. Discussed it, I think, first or second week in session. And then you'll see on line 3.27 also the $4,000, which was $40,000. So there is a minimum. There was some discussion about what the minimum expenditure to apply for a grant is. Is the $50,000 cap still applies for the overall, but for each grant application, there's a minimum of $4,000. And you see the process provisions. The one thing that's not in here, in Senator Scogan's bill, there was an account created. And I don't think you really need to have an account because you're basically just appropriating money for it and doesn't need to have its own separate account.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question on this section of Mr. Knopf?
You can. Okay. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Knopf, I remember this discussion. I remember, I think, Senator Kubley, you had an amendment to try to change that qualifying amount or expenditure amount to be, I think it was originally that we should not put any limit on it or have it be very low. And we had a very long discussion about that. And And I think when the bill left the committee, that 40,000 or that higher limit was preserved. And so where did it get changed to be 4,000?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, this is the chair's recommendation for the ag article for the budget bill. And this is in discussions with other members of the committee. This is the amount that was determined, I think, that by the author. It was left at 40,000, but there was a committee discussion going on as to what the appropriate level was, and then there was a decision of the committee that would be left for the budget bill and not to be done that day.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Knopf, yes, I recall that. But I think part of the discussion we had centered around that this was to be, as Senator Scoia has pointed out, that we're trying to encourage investment, and spending $4,000 to put up a new fence or something and using money to do that may have very marginal impact on the overall investment that we're trying to encourage. And I think what Senator Scogin's bill originally was designed to do was to encourage that there would be a substantial investment that would have a payoff. So I'm just calling attention to it because I think this is the trade-off that we've taken the 3% budget reduction for. And as much as I believe in the purpose of trying to encourage livestock investment, I think by changing the lower limit to be a $4,000 qualifying investment, I'm not sure we're accomplishing that purpose. So again, I'm really questioning whether this is a good substitution or how we're doing that. So if we would change the limit to be more substantial along the lines of the original bill, I think that would make a lot more sense.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Hahn, there was a concern that would cut out the small producers. And at one time, I think Senator Erickson Ropes wanted it to be zero. And I know that in my country there are larger producers, but in some parts of the state there are a lot of smaller organics and sustainables that would like to get involved in this program. And we didn't want to cut anybody out of the opportunity. We talked about several. We talked about leaving it at maybe $30,000 and then giving them 3 years to stack their expenses and then make their application. And we talked about several different things. And then with conversations with Representative Junkie, we decided that we would try this approach and make it available to everybody.
Rattatay, I don't know what it is. Is that working?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hahn and Senator Scogin, Senator Hahn, in this particular case, I certainly share your concern. I actually believe that diminishing the amount to $4,000 diminishes the value of the program as far as what it's going to promote in agriculture. I certainly would have preferred that figure to stay, I would say, substantially higher. I was comfortable with the 40,000, but I don't, you know, just throwing a figure out there, I can't see why we'd want to go less than 10,000. Even on a smaller farm or an organic farm or something like that, if you're going to do any substantial changes or substantial building, you reach $4,000 is painting your barn. I mean, and that doesn't really enhance what agriculture is. Now, I know that's not listed down here, but another disappointment is to see the inclusion of fences, because building a fence or enlarging a pasture does not necessarily equate to promoting the economic impact of the farm industry. So I would certainly prefer to see fences back out of there and that number become higher, so that it's a good program, but I want to see the program have the effect that we intend it to have in the Agricultural Committee, which is to enhance the economic value of agriculture. And when we begin to minimize the program, we also take the overall effect away. And so, Mr. Chair, I would prefer to see us change those two things.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, maybe one thing that would be instructive is to look back in history. It's been around for several years now, and it originally started out as an income tax credit. And then last year we switched to this grant program. So what I'd like to know, and maybe Mr. Knopf can tell us, when we first started thinking about this as a dairy investment tax credit, was there a minimum size investment that before you could qualify for that tax credit?
Chairman, Senator Dill, no.
Okay, so that's maybe instructive in this case. If if this was a tax credit like we started with, we wouldn't even have this $4,000 number in here. Am I correct on that?
Chairman, Senator Dill, yes.
Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess, I would speak in favor of leaving them in there. It does seem to me that for cow-calf herds or for, somebody getting started in dairying, certainly fences are a necessary expenditure. And there are a lot of farmers that don't start out with an operation that needs a $40,000 to $50,000 investment. They have a much smaller amount. So, I think, our debate initially was, what to set the lower level at. $4,000, seems like it's fine. To me, I guess, I think we ought to add pastures in here, too, and I have an amendment to that effect. But I think, if you're getting started in the raising of livestock or producing livestock for a portion of your income, that both fences and pastures fit in what we're trying to accomplish in expanding the livestock industry within the state.
Well, Senator Kubley, we've come from zero to 4,000, so we made a little headway.
Well, I think where we are is fine, Mr. Chair. That's what I'm saying. I think this is a good compromise position. So I was just speaking against taking fences out, as Senator Wergen was suggesting, and leaving it in and adding pastures. And when you get around to it, Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer the 0132 amendment.
Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And a question for Mr. Knopf, maybe. Senator Chaudhry and I were just looking at page 3, line 3.25. Are we going to be requiring feedlot registrations, or maybe I'm not quite following what that or do we already require that? Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, we do require a feedlot registration in certain situations. If you're below, was it 50, I think, animal units outside of the shoreland, you don't need one. If you're within the shore area, if you're less than 10, and then for winter feeding areas, we don't require. There are. What this says is if you're required to have a feedlot registration, you need to have it to get this grant. We want to make sure they're not funding farms that are supposed to have a feedlot registration but don't have one.
Okay.
That's the reason that's, and there was part of your original bill, too.
Thank you.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that clarification. I did not sense that your answer from my first read of this. What I read from the plain reading was that you would only be eligible for this program if you were registered as a feedlot, which is my understanding is that that's a high number of head. And as a result, that would exclude lower numbers of livestock farms. So given your explanation, is there a way that this could be reworded to say exactly what you explained?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, what you could do is delete an appropriate and insert and then after registration, just put a comma if required. I think holding a feedlot registration if required. And I think that would get at your concern.
Okay.
And be clear. Again, this was part of the original bill, so I didn't catch this part. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that change.
John Ray, do you want to make that as a motion?
Senator Wergen moved it.
Senator Wergen. Okay. Does everybody understand it? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted. Now, members, where are we at now? Senator Corey.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I just got a question to Mr. Knopf on page 2, line 21. What is ratite?
I don't know.
Wasn't that a movie?
Mr. Chairman, those would be, at Senator Coring, those would be large birds. Emu, ostrich, those types of birds are in the class of Rattitae.
Senator Coring, I think, like you, I thought maybe they put the wrong thing in there, just left it as rat.
Mr. Chairman, I'd lay out rat poison to try to get rid of those Rattitae's whenever at my place.
Any other discussion on this part of it? We've got two more things to go.
Well, I do have an amendment that goes in this portion. Do you want to wait till the end, or?
Mr. Chairman, you want me to keep going through and describe the article? There's just a little bit more left in it.
Okay. Well, I thought you were done.
Mr. Chairman, so then on Section 6, you have from Senator, this is from Senator Scoy's bill, that was discussed by committee and passed by this committee, actually to itself, but from the Policy Committee to the Finance Committee. And it does have the bovine tuberculosis management zone restrictions that Senator Scoy mentioned earlier that requires you to either fence your animals or apply for payments to remove the herd from the area if you're within that 10-mile radius around those five presumptive tuberculosis positive deer. And then Section 7, again, this was also in Senator Scoy's bill, and it's also it was a recommendation of the governor for control of bovine tuberculosis. This is to do with designation of zones. The one addition that Senator Scoy added on 4.28 to 4.29 is the board may designate tuberculosis zones that contain not more than 201 herds. So that the limits the size that can be designated. And again, you've got the control within the modified accredited zone. And the other language that was all part of a recommendation from the administration and in Senator Scoy's bill. And that's the end of the article.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I was out of the room, and I don't know. Mr. Bodden gave me an amendment earlier. Was that taken up? I have a short technical amendment to this bill.
Senator Robes, I'll have to admit I have my mind someplace else. So what was your question again?
I was out of the room, and I didn't know if this technical amendment had been brought up yet.
No. Oh, yeah, just one. We have an amendment.
Senator Cooley wanted to move an amendment. Senator Cooley asked to. Yeah.
But now you're through it. Now, with Senator Cooley, you want an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd offer the 0132 amendment. I could say a little bit about it while they're passing it out, Mr. Chair. You can see what it does, Mr. Chair. It just adds pastures as another option. It doesn't add any additional funding or anything like that. It just takes into consideration that if somebody, you know, we always talk about the number of dairies that we lose in a year, but we don't talk about the number of people who start dairying in a year, and there are a number of those as well. And I personally believe that pasture would be beneficial to those who are thinking of starting a dairying operation, and a lot of those start small, so it's just an attempt to include people that would either start a dairying operation or a cow-calf herd.
Senator Scoy, on this amendment?
Yes, to this amendment. Thank you, Ms. Chair. And Senator Cooley, you know, I mean, I know what you're trying to do here, but when I think about these investments, this capital investment grant program that we're working on, and I think about soil preparation, seed costs, I just think that's operational costs of being a farmer. And if you're going to develop a pasture, the only capital investment that I can see there is fences and maybe some gates. And fences probably cover that. So I can't understand why we would give a credit for somebody to prepare the land. I mean, that's just what farmers do as part of your operations. And if you're going to, the only capital investment that I see on a pasture is the fence, and that's listed here.
Yeah,
so I don't
is.
Think this amendment is needed.
Okay. Well, are there other thoughts from the committee? I guess, I don't know, I'm just trying to, make it as amenable as we can to as many people as possible. And I know there are costs associated with starting operations, but.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I was just thinking about this little tiny bit of money, the $700,000 we've got here. And just how far is it going to go? And maybe we should just go with what we've got and not add anything else and see how why don't we try this out in a year or two and see how it goes, what we've got on the list. Because the $700,000, my guess is it's going to go pretty fast.
All right. Well, I'll withdraw the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Coble withdraws the amendment. Now I'm going to send a robe. You have a question.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have another amendment as well, and partially has to do with the same sort of pasture idea that Senator Coble talked about, but there's a couple other little changes. Is that passed out yet? There are two lines. A couple of them are just like deleting the word or. That's three parts of this. One part of the bill would be on page 2, line 16, before the period where it says $4,000, insert, or 10% of the person's net income from farming, whichever is greater. So I think the idea here is to try to make it accessible to people who are on small farms or just starting.
Jenna Wiggins, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I'm interpreting that correctly, it could mean that if someone's total net income was $4,000, they would qualify for $400, which totally undermines the program for its effect on the economic impact of agriculture.
Mm-hmm, whichever is greater.
I think it goes the opposite.
Senator Scoy, shed some light on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Erickson-Ropes. I think in order to clarify what you're talking about here, you might want to refer to the Schedule F that is where you report your agriculture and your farming income on the federal tax return.
Senator Scoggin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Erickson-Ropes, you might be surprised at what a farmer's net income looks like when they do their taxes. We might be down into the single digits by the time they get through their depreciations and other things. Or is that what you were referring to, Senator Scoy?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Scogan, I was just trying to clarify where they would look to find the farmer's net income, because otherwise, what are you going to refer to? You know, I mean, the bank profit and loss statement or what, you know. So I think you need clarity here. I'm not going to support the amendment, but if it's going to be offered, I'd like it to be referring to something that's reasonable, you know, a real number.
Okay.
Senator Wiggin.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Scoy. I'm not supporting the amendment either, but it actually doesn't read the way I said earlier. It actually reads just the opposite. It says whichever is greater. So if a net income is $400,000, then the farmer can't qualify unless they invest $40,000. So now you've brought it down so that basically it qualifies just for the small farmers, and don't bother to get big because you don't qualify for the program. I mean, it could have just the opposite effect. And so I hope we don't support this amendment.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Wiggin, thank you. I think the intent here of the language was to just make sure the small farmers could be included in that and not exclude large farmers, but just it's inclusionary language. It perhaps doesn't read correctly. The second piece, I think we've heard from the committee about your thoughts on the pasture area, but it would be the same thing, an attempt to establish or improve pasture.
Any further discussion? Lieutenant Robes moves the adoption of R00093. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Not adopted. Now we have any more on this part? Tom, Bob? Oh, wait a minute. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have on page 4, lines 4.20 and 4.21, had a meeting with the Board of Animal Health in USDA yesterday afternoon, and one of the concerns that we have up in the bovine tuberculosis area is while we're concentrating on these farms that have cattle on them, if the cattle are removed from these farms, they very likely will still continue to have hay crops and sell it. And there is a concern with regard to those haystacks and the possibility that the deer would feed on them, leaving the bovine TB virus in the hay. The hay would get sold, and we would be transmitting bovine tuberculosis that way. So I have an oral amendment on line 20 or page 4, line 20. I think we need to change cattle herds to farms. And on page 4, line 21, I think we just need to delete winter feeding areas and, because that area will be covered in the part 2 there, where the Board of Animal Health is demonstrating that the cattle herd is kept in a manner that does not allow cattle and deer to interface. That will cover that winter feeding area, I believe. And so what we want to deal with is the farms and the feedstocks that are being raised up there. And so I think we should make that oral amendment if the committee is willing.
Mr. Knopf, can you explain what?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think what Senator Scoy wants to do is to expand the first part to make sure that if there's not a cattle herd, that they still have to have the fence around the stored forage crops. And then winter feeding areas, as you mentioned, would be covered under clause 2 above, where they basically have to demonstrate that they're kept in a manner not to allow interface. And so what you would do is on 4.20, as Senator Scoy suggested, delete cattle herds, insert farms, and on 4.21, delete winter feeding areas and.
Everybody understand it? Any questions, Senator Deal?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, the problem with the second part is that if you've got your stored forage crops stored inside a barn, it looks like you still need to put a fence around the barn.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Dill. I see how if you were doing a technical reading of that, my hope is that as the Board of Animal Health does their risk assessment, that they would be able to not assign risk to enclosed barns. But if there was an open end or open two ends, that perhaps they might have to address that. So I don't know exactly what the solution is to your question, but I see your issue if it's a fully enclosed hay shed, but what if it's open on two ends?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Knopf, the wordsmith, can tell us what to do.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy actually brings up a good point, because the barn, I was thinking that if it's stored outside, but you could say stored inside, then have the barn be open on one side. But what you could say is that basically that the stored forage crops must be contained. And basically if they're not contained, have fences around them. I'd have to rewrite this a little bit, but I think I get the idea of what you're trying to say is that basically it needs to be either totally contained in a building or have a fence.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Knopf, you know what I would think we should say there is we should get away from even having the words fence in there, and we should just say that storage forage crops should not have interface with deer. And how they accomplish it, whether it's a building or a fence, will leave up to the Board of Animal Health and the farmer.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Wergen.
That could be accomplished by saying all farms located within the bovine tuberculosis management zone must be contained in a manner that prevents interaction.
Mr. Knopf, what would be the easiest way?
Mr. Chairman, I think the easiest way would be to delete fences around and after crops, insert kept in a manner that does not allow deer interface.
Scotty, that help?
Yep.
That Bill, that help you too?
David?
Senator Wergen, do you want to make that as a...
Maybe we could read the sentence as it would read now.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I can do that. But it would be all farms located within the bovine tuberculosis management zone must have stored forage crops kept in a manner that does not allow deer interface.
Access.
Mr. Chair, I'll move that change if those words are appropriate.
One more time, Senate Counsel, and then we're going to vote.
Mr. Chairman, it's on line 4.20, delete cattle herd, insert farms. On line 4.21, delete fences around winter feeding areas and before the period, insert kept in a manner that does not allow, you could have deer interface or deer access, what your preference would be.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Knopf, I heard the little discussion you were having about the word interface, but from my point of view, that is what we're trying to eliminate, is the interface between infected animals and non-infected animals. And an interface, I think, is a pretty clear understanding of what's going on, and it is the terminology that we have been using in our discussions and meetings. So I like that word. But okay. If there's a better one, we'd have to start making changes elsewhere too. Then,
Mr. Chairman and Senator Squire, the only issue would be is whether interface is the right word, because if there aren't any cattle there, I mean, does that mean, you know, what does it mean? I think access might be a better word in this. In this place, I think you can leave it up on 4.19, but I think access may be a better word for this.
Okay, I agree, Mr. Knopf.
So it would be deer access. Otherwise, everything else is the same.
Senator Wergen, do you understand it?
That's fine.
Everybody understand the motion and Senator Wergen's motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted. Now I believe we're done with the egg. Gentlemen, first we'll go through.
Mr. Chairman, I'll walk you through Articles 13 and 14, which are attached together very quickly here. Sections 1 and 2 contain the same summary language that appears at the front of the agriculture article, except, of course, they reference previous appropriations for Veterans Affairs. And those totals, again, are a net amount, and these are changes being made to the existing appropriations for fiscal years 08 and 09. The language that you see in the riders for Veterans Affairs on pages 1 and 2 are basically reflected. They reflect what you see in Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet. There isn't a whole lot of, and most of them were contained within Senate File 3633, which has been presented to the committee. There is some new language on the bottom of page 2 that makes the reduction from the higher education grants. You'll see that on lines 21 through 28. That's basically just technical. Then I'll say the same thing for the other. There's some language on line on page 3, lines 10 to 19, that takes care of the grant to the Minnesota Ambulance Association for the Veterans Paramedic Apprenticeship Program. That's the same as the basically taken directly from the bill that the committee heard. At the very bottom of page 3, section 4 takes money remaining in the World War II memorial donation match account after the state share of construction costs for the memorial has been fully paid.
The Senate passed this language last year, and it was inadvertently left out of the conference committee report. So that's a very small amount of money, if I remember correctly. I think it's less than $10,000. The department could probably provide precise information on that. But this would allow them to use it for programs for veterans and their families. Then on page 4, you see the Veterans Affairs portion of this provides the language that would provide the purposes for the statutory appropriation from the Support Our Troops license plate funding that would allow for grants to veteran service organizations and outreach to underserved veterans. On page 4, Article 14 for Military Affairs begins. Again, the same comments on the headers and the riders. Those are basically all reflected in the spreadsheet. On page 5, lines 11 through 13, there's the small appropriation for the study of the National Guard Youth Challenge Program. Then on page 5, there's more of the language related to the Support Our Troops license plates. And section 4 is where the statutory appropriation is made from that account. And that money is appropriated in equal shares to the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs. The effective date makes it clear that this will supersede last year's appropriation of those amounts for distribution. And there's additional language in Section 5 on the bottom of page 5 clarifying the use for the Support Our Troops money, expanding it to include grants to family readiness groups. Then on the bottom of page 6 and page 7, that's money, that's the language related to the timber management at Camp Ripley. Again, there's a $100,000 general fund cost for that. The language in Section 7 basically just provides a statutory appropriation to the Adjutant General to use the revenue to manage the timber resources. Section 8 is taken from the bill that that's Senate File 3633, providing for the enhanced employer support of the Guard and Reserve Program. And that's really about it for any new language. On the very back on page 8, you'll see the language from, I believe that was Senator Olsen's bill, the National Guard Youth Challenge Program study. That completes Articles 13 and 14.
Any discussion? There's no more questions. I need a motion to move the articles in the spreadsheet and move it to finance, and that's going to come up Friday. Senator Scully?
Mr. Chair, I would move that Article 12 and Article 13 in the spreadsheet be recommended to pass.
And 14
be recommended to pass and referred to the Finance Committee.
As amended. You need that as amended in there.
As amended.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hahn.
Before we move the bill, and I apologize, I just wanted to go back to the Article 12 and just a clarification question, and maybe someone can talk to it. And Senator Scoy, I'm not sure. Maybe you did address it and I missed it. But on the top of page 2, lines 2.6 to the end of the paragraph, $400,000. Explain that again. And when you're saying that it's added to the base, does that mean that it's part of the $2.2 million going forward? And just I maybe missed that in your explanation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, yes, this would be what is referred to as an ag special. It's a line appropriation to the University of Minnesota for research dealing with bovine tuberculosis. In all the discussions that we've had with this, we have a pretty good handle, I think, on the epidemiology of the bovine TB virus in lots of situations. But we want to fully understand that life cycle, so they're going to do a publication review and collate, bring all that data together, And then the outcome, this is, Grand Rapids is where the state cattle herd testing site is, and we are asking them to work and develop best management practices for these cattle herds that are in the buyout area and in the split state area, so that we can make sure we don't have reinfestations when we put animals back in these on these farms. We are currently working with the University of Minnesota as to what their final request is going to be, and we'll work with the chair as he takes this bill to the Finance Committee to finalize that request.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Scoia. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hand, follow up. Members, I don't know if you've been watching TV like I do, but you notice that they're shooting any buffalo that walks off of the Yellowstone management area just for this certain reason. Mm-hmm. They've killed 600 and some already. They don't stay back where they are, and the ranchers do not want them to come out into their cattle herds. So they are. So we're not only shooting deer, but they're shooting buffalo. Any further discussion on the bill? Members, Senator Hahn, I need to visit with you because I would certainly like you to vote for this veterans bill.
Well, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to vote for it, too. I don't think I can under the current. I understand that there, with respect to the GI loan provisions, and I may need to do a little thinking about that. But when I look at the total scope of the bill, it seems like all the cuts are coming in the veterans area, and I'm just concerned about that. And maybe that is the best choice. I'm just not, at this point, reconciled to that. So maybe we can talk.
Senator Hand, I don't think all the cuts are coming from that. We took money out of the GI Minnesota GI bill that they can't use, and won't use it anyway. It'll just sit there. So by putting that money into our bill, we got something out of that to help the veterans. Look at it. I look at it that way, if you would. Okay, members. Everybody knows the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So adopted. Thank you, members. Well, good work here. And we are adjourned. Yeah.